Hello and welcome to another edition of Life's Made Easy, your podcast. My name is Leslie Pesach. It is such a pleasure to have you here today. Today I have a special guest. Her name is Debbie Longo. And Debbie, would you like to just take a few moments, tell your story briefly before we get started?
My name is Debbie Longo. I'm an executive behavioral coach, and I have about 25 years experience in this business. I started off as a life coach originally, and I had a spiritual teacher, mentor, and she passed away in 2021. So I decided to continue her work and my work, basically combine it. Then COVID came, which was part of the reason why I started an executive coaching business, because a lot of companies went bankrupt and there was a lot of problems. Companies were losing money and they all said, oh, it's because of COVID, it's because of a recession. And the way that I teach it is, doesn't matter what it is, outside forces don't matter. Even if there's a recession or anything, I will still be successful in my business, regardless of what happens. So then I said, I need to help these people. And then she passed away shortly after that. She was a spiritual teacher and mentor, but she did things completely different than me, that I do it a little bit her way, but I have my take on it. She just did everything that the way that I do it, just done in a completely different way, because she just did it the way that she, her vibe. And now I do it a different way, but it's basically the same. It's not really that much of a difference.
So how does this spirituality relate to your background?
Well, like I said, she was a spiritual teacher, mentor. She was also a spiritual advisor. So she had a lot of spirituality in her background. And that was how I started off with the coaching business. Now I have a lot of back end work that I do. So when there's a client that comes to me, or a potential client, a prospect, and they want to have a consultation or a workshop or something, then I get the information from them and we make a plan, we make an outline, and then they say if they like it, then I make it a little bit more detailed. But this information comes from a higher source. This information does not come from me. I am not trying to control the person. I'm not trying to control anybody. I simply have a way of coaching where I can help business owners and executives increase sales and profits in a way that most likely they don't know. And even if they're familiar with it, because what I do is completely different than what most coaches do, because I know a lot of coaches. And you could go online and you could just look up coaching and you'll see what they do. All their websites will come up. I do it a completely different way. I use higher forces and I get the information. It's channeled through me. And then I give them the information. So I'm merely giving them an idea, something that can work, that I know will work. But that depends on whether they want to receive it or not. And if they don't, it's fine. If they do, it's fine. That's completely up to them. And all of that is free. I don't charge for that until they say, I really want to do it. Now, if they have the information, they can maybe do something with that information. They could take a sentence out of there, right? And they could like look it up on the internet or something and get an answer. But the idea is to do the whole plan all together, because like A equals B and then you go C, D, E. So it has to be done in a certain order. So if I just pick out D and I didn't do A, B, and C, then I'm just going to do the instructions that D says, and that will work for a time, but that's not the way that it's really designed to do. As we go through the process, I have all different ways that I have gifts, God-given gifts that I've had that my spiritual teacher allows me to showed me how to open my mind with these different gifts that I have. And I use that to help people in all different ways. And that was really the reason why I started the coaching business.
I know that COVID was a really hard time for everyone. There were a lot of losses, and there's a lot of uneasy emotional feelings, you know, that left still lingering, and with everything coming up and everything else. And sometimes we just kind of, I mean, personally, sometimes we just think, you know, how do we keep a positive perspective with all the things that go on when we think this is reality, but COVID was this reality for the world, and it was real and it was true. And now as it start, we're following these people that are guiding us, telling us what to do, like Fauci and so on, and our government and such. And now with all this stuff coming out, for me, it's like, who do you believe and how do you get through this? And personally, I've been there before. And personally, I have to look at my spirituality. I truly look within myself for the answers, because when I look outside, what seems like the truth isn't always the truth in the long run. So what are some of the ways that people can become more positive in your perspective? And therefore, increase, you know, be more positive at work, be more positive in their life so that they can be more productive, feel more happiness, and, you know, really have a positive impact in their working environments.
There's a lot of ways, and this is a big thing that I teach. So this is an overall thing. An overall goal is to be positive, is to get rid of negativity. And I've done a bunch of podcasts. I've done about 6 or 7 of them where I was a guest, because I also have podcasts where I also host. And the ones that I host, the Behavioral Profit and the Six Figure Shift Show, I have my guest appearances also on those podcasts. So you just hear me talk more. So there's all different ways to do it. Like I did one on respect. I did one on making goals. We did one on big ego. There's all specific ways that we can become positive. But here's the thing. I want to be able to understand and know. We call it a creating a knowing, right? Where I want to know that there is something negative happening. There's a lot of problems, issues in my workplace, which when I learn this, this will now carry over to my home. So something is going on and my employees are trying to control the workplace. I'm not in control anymore. The boss or the executive might be at a place where the employees are not following their job duties. They're just doing whatever they want. The executive is going to come to a point where they're going to say something is going on and I got to stop it. And that's where you have a snowball of negativity. So when I make a snowball, it starts really small. And then as I'm rolling more snow, the snowball gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you don't control it, and you don't see it in the beginning, then it's just going to become such a problem that it's not going to be impossible to fix, but it's going to be a lot more than if the business owner saw it in the very beginning. Sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. And that's up to the business owner, because that's just the process. That's their own process. But we don't want to wait until it gets to the point where the company went bankrupt, the company filed bankruptcy. And now they have to pay this money back, not bankruptcy where they went out of business, bankruptcy where they're still in business. Because the next step is they're going to go out of business. So we don't want to get to that point. So this is why we want to see the warning signs before anything happens. And this is one of the reasons why I have these podcasts, because now we're going to talk about all these different things that happen that create all this negativity in all these different podcasts that I have. And that's how you get that snowball is going to grow bigger and bigger and bigger. And you don't want to get to that point, believe me, because it's not going to be a good scenario.
In my personal life over the years, I'm 58 and I've worked for a few different companies. And honestly, the way that the interaction between the employees within themselves sometimes, in most cases, I think is truly what causes a lot of attention in companies. And I think that there needs to be a diverse culture, but there also needs to be a culture of unity, a culture of acceptance, a culture of understanding why our differences make us who we are. And when we can be ourselves, then it will contribute to other people in many different ways. It will contribute to agreeing with something about that person that we admire, that we want to replicate, that, or it could be something about that person that we don't want and that we learn what truly is us. Like if there's certain times when employees come in late or there's certain employees that show up early. I mean, those are two different things. It's like some people look at that and say, oh, you know what? They show up early. They're dedicated. They're responsible and in the timing of getting to work. But then, and then there's other people might think, oh God, why do they always come in early? That's kind of a waste of time. So I think it's really not by judging from your environments. It's more so observing in those environments to decide what you want and what, you know, to make a part of you and what you don't want to make a part of you. And I think that, you know, this carries in to many different aspects of our lives, not only just at work, but I think it also carries into, you know, a personal life. I mean, I don't think you can find one thing. If you're not happy in your work environment, and you're not going to be happy in any other environment in your life. These tendencies or these parts of us in each aspect of our lives pull apart within us. Do you agree with that?
Yes, agreed.
So what kind of effects can like our moods have with our emotions and our overall balance? What are some of those that you see?
These are all the different aspects of being of negativity. Let's say for emotions, for example, if I'm dominant, which a lot of bosses would be because they need to give orders or enforce the job duties, but it comes to a point where it becomes too much and their ego gets bigger and bigger. Well, what happens then? When they become dominant and they give orders to the point where they're just barking and they think that their employees are robots and they don't treat them like human beings, then they become more sensitive. So if they were not dominant to an extreme extent, then they would be less sensitive. I know it sounds strange.
No, because I've watched a really interesting interview with Elon Musk, and he slept under his desk for I think it was 3 months, and he even pitched a tent on the roof of his building and to show his employees that he's right with them. You know, he's right next to them. He's building with them. He's contributing. He understands. He doesn't expect anybody to put in any more than he does himself. So they're all really dedicated people because they see how dedicated he is. And this guy owns like 6 or 7 different companies, right? I'm not sure if it was his SpaceX business or his Tesla business, but he just is so dedicated to stuff and he doesn't bark at people. But I do know what you're saying. There are some people that take that role and really abuse it. And it happens. I noticed it mostly when I worked in the theater. But I think that sometimes maybe we can take our roles or whatever's going on within us emotionally and really put that out onto other people and out into the world. I think really having that inner balance is so important so within us at all the time so that it doesn't affect all of these different aspects within our life. One of the questions I have, what do you think about? How do you manage your mindset when both, like, if you have home demands and work demands and certain things from one or the other areas in your life, they have to have, like, emotional, and I'm talking about those times when they're, like, emotional draining, when you just feel like you're going to lose it. So how do you manage your emotional stability?
That's a good question, because the thing is, I teach this stuff. So I want to be able to practice what I preach, what I teach. I'm going to learn it, practice it, and then I'm able to teach it. So if I want to take an algebra course And I go into the first day, that teacher knows algebra. That teacher knows that textbook from beginning to end, inside out. They know all the words. They know what everything means. They know how to write tests. They know everything. And if they didn't, then they wouldn't be qualified. They wouldn't be a good enough teacher where they could teach me everything at the end of the class, and then I would know it all. I would be able to pass it all. So that's the thing. So first, I want to be able to learn it. And I have to preach it every day. I have to practice it every day in order for me to really teach it well. So it's a daily practice where I'm doing it maybe multiple times a day, because I'm constantly becoming positive, because it's a negative world. Everybody around me is negative, or most people are. So I'm feeding their negativity, because we're all like sponges from energy. So that's an issue. So now I know, have to know how to get rid of that negativity so I could stay positive, so I can be able to help people. Because I'm not going to help somebody and say, oh yeah, yeah, we could do it. You could make your goals. And then I hang up the phone and I say, no, they're not going to make it. That's not going to work. I have to say it. They're going to do it all day long, every day. I have to really put it in my brain. I can't take it out of my brain. When I help people, when I do that, I'm not only practicing what I should be practicing, what I normally do, now I'm practicing it more because now there's somebody else involved. When that happens, I not only grow spiritually, but I'm helping somebody else. And that person is growing spiritually also, just by doing things. I'm not talking about praying and meditating and being a Buddha or whatever. If you want to do that, that's fine. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about doing things out of your comfort zone. If you're negative, don't stay in it. Do something out of your comfort zone. Get out of that negativity. That's not what somebody wants to do. Once I start doing that in my daily life, I'm talking about basic things. When I do these things, I am growing spiritually. And that's what I want to keep doing. And that's how, I was just talking about this in my other podcast before, that's how the world evolves and the people evolve and the animals, they all do it. And the mammals, they all do it. They just do it in different ways, obviously. And this is what we want. First of all, you can't be stagnant. It's impossible. When they go backwards, you have a lot of friction. You have a lot of problems. Watch the news. That's your example.
I don't watch the news on TV, the regular news, because I think that it's, for one, it's not healthy, because I don't think any of it is true. I think it's all, the more and more I go to the source of my information, the more and more I'm learning that what's put on our basic television for the news is very skewed and it's very upsetting. And when I learned this about, no, I'd say it was probably about 5 or 6 years ago, and I got really upset when I was watching somebody on the news report something that I was watching happen, and they weren't the same thing, right? They're telling me that this person did this, but I'm watching it, and they took a little teeny piece of it and spun it in such a negative way. And I swear it was that day that I turned off my TV, stuck it behind my sofa. I pushed my wall unit out of my family room, which is the room I'm sitting in. And I put my desk here and I made it my office. And I said, no more TV. If I watch TV or if I want to know anything that's going on, I just ask what I need to be informed about. And I make that, you know, it just comes to me. I just have to ask and it comes to me. But when I was watching that news on the television, it gave me such anxiety because I was thinking that it was truly real. And it's not. It's not real. What we see on regular TV is just like sitcoms. It's all acting. And it goes right into the news, into the news that we receive. So I think that going to the source is a much better approach than it is to utilize what other people want to share as their opinion, right? I think that the news is like somebody else's opinion. It's like a third party. And if you tell somebody something, they're going to tell somebody, they're going to tell somebody. It's like gossip, right? It changes. The story changes from every ear that hears it and every mouth that speaks it. So I have an issue with that. Anyway, we can go on because I could go on forever about the news and politics and such. When it comes right down to it for me, I just look inside of myself when I'm watching something and I say, Leslie, is that true or is it not true? And sometimes the things are true, but how do I want to utilize that information to better myself instead of making me bitter? How can I make it so that I live from the core values of who I am? And I take it and I say, okay, Leslie, this is true, but how do I want to pull something from it that's going to add value to myself and into my life? Just like any other situation that I'm faced with, whether it's something I watch, somebody I'm interacting with, whether it's at work, whether it's at home. Thank God I'm single and I live by myself and only the right man's going to come to me and that will share the same values. Because I think that, you know, we can all be different, but if we share the same values, that makes all the difference in the world. You don't have to be the same. We don't have to follow these trends. We don't have to all think alike. And ideally, I think that those differences in our everyday life and within ourselves makes that variety possible, right? We all need variety. We all need contrast. But in order to hold people in your life that are important, the only thing I think is important too is common values. I think that the workplace, I don't know, if you're working for somebody that doesn't see your value, that doesn't give you an opportunity, or that's more dictator, some people need really solid direction and that commanding role model or team leader. And then I think others are more of a, I guess it depends on the position that you choose. What do you think of that?
Yes, I agree.
One of the other questions that I have, do you lead a team? Is this where all of your information came from? Do you speak with your team? If you do, and how do you speak to them? What type of methods of communication do you use to give, you know, clarity and make sure that people understand that you care about them and that you want to, that this job is to work together and to really come together and to better, not only to get the job done, but also to better themselves and the whole workforce. Because our jobs here on earth are to grow and expand in everything that we do. And if we're in a situation where we're not growing and expanding within ourselves and our environments, then how do you address that?
If I'm an executive or a business owner, and even for myself, because I'm a business owner, but let's say I have a really big company, one of the big things is I want to treat my employees and everybody that's under me or even my peers like human beings. Human beings have feelings. They have ups and downs. They have emotions, issues, all kinds of things. And if I can't find a way to connect with people that I work with, people that I see every day, 40 hours a week or sometimes more, then I start to treat them like not with feeling. I start to treat them like robots. I start to treat them like they're there to do a job and they're going to get it done and they come and they go.
Why do you think that an employer would take on that type of an attitude?
Because one of the reasons is that if the company is making its goals every year, and then let's say it's doing really good, all they care about is making more money. And if they care, if they put any effort into caring or doing things to go out of their way so they can make their employees happy, then they're not focused on money. And that is called greed and power. So as the company grows and I get more greedy and more powerful, I care about my employees less. Now, not everybody does this. And if you're a business owner and you don't do this, then that's fine. But we're trying to help the people who do this. So if you're watching this podcast and you can't relate, and you say, well, I'm a business owner, my business is doing good, and I treat my employees right and everything, that's fine. But if you don't, and think about it, if you're making a lot of money, how are you treating your employees? Now, there are all kinds of things that resources that companies have today. They have counselors. They have a number that you can call, and they have somebody that you could talk to. They have all different kinds of resources in human resources. They have people in the company that are advocates that can advocate for you. There are all different managers that have all different job duties. So some of the job duties have to do with helping people, and some have to do with growing the company. Because I know that I was at zero and I got to a million because I have employees. So now I want my employees to work harder for me, and then I will make money. And that's not how it works.
I own my own company, and I owned my own company. I owned a child care center for 20 years, a child education center. And now I'm starting this business, living from the inside out. Well, having employees, I mean, my company, my reason, my purpose isn't, for my business is number one, to help people with their personal growth and showing them how it leads to their spiritual development. When we become the best versions of ourselves, we are able to have this divine experience if we choose that's what we want, right? I mean, I've explained to everybody there's two paths that are coming before us. You can choose which one you're going to be on. Are you going to be on the stagnant path, or are you going to be on the path of growth, of personal growth, development, and really understand why your soul's here? This is my purpose. However, one of the essential key elements of it is to earning an income, right? If I earn money with my business, I can pay my employees. And I think that, yes, we all fall into certain areas in our life where things aren't going well for us, or we have these challenges. And sometimes there are certain companies that offer certain things. Is it truly the company's responsibility to provide for the employees therapy and all this other stuff to get their lives in order, when really it's up to them? They're there to do a job, perform for this company, to provide their gifts and service to the company. But our personal, who we are and how we come about, I don't think it's fair, not just for the employer, yes, but I don't think it's fair. We're not being fair to ourselves to put that responsibility onto another person, because I think that we ourselves lose our sense of self. We lose our sense of control. We lose our sense of knowing that, for me, all the answers are inside of me. All the answers are inside of everybody. But if we put it up to an employer, and an employer came up to me and said, oh, let's say I see you struggling here, you need to see therapy, I would be very offended. But I can see where if I were really struggling and internally I just can't figure stuff out, and I went to an HR and I said, I'm really struggling. Do you have therapy? Is there a recommendation or something? But is that really something you want to bring to your workplace? I mean, because sometimes when you bring that into the workplace, you share too much. Isn't that something that we should probably handle on our own personally?
I think it depends on where their unhappiness comes from. Where do their issues come from? Do they come from the home and they're bringing it into the workplace? Or is the problem the workplace?
Every issue to me begins and ends within ourselves. It doesn't matter what the heck's going on outside of you, whether it's at home, work, community, whatever it is. Whatever's going on outside of you is an opportunity to me to learn. It's how that's affecting the inside of me. But what are these feelings inside of me? This is a feeling of frustration, pain, anger, sorrow. These are feelings I need to look at. This is how I do it. I look at these feelings. I think, let's say when you feel this, whatever the situation is outside of you, run and run as fast as you can. That's what it tells me. But if I see something that's funny or that's entertaining or that I learn from that makes me feel good, I'm going to bring that into my life, like Hallmark movies. When you see I can sit and watch a Hallmark movie. And when I'm really sad, and it lifts me up, it makes me feel better. And we all use our different little methods, but, or I can go for a walk, or I can go into the mountains, or I can take my shoes off and I can walk in my grass, because repeat positive affirmations in my mind to make me feel better. But I have a really, really hard time in my life allowing something on the outside of me to dictate what I want happening on the inside of me. Because for my first 40 years, I let that happen, Debbie. And that's why I freaking melted down. And that's when God hit the reset button on my life and said, Leslie, now it's time to live about you, for you, and because of you. And this is where my theory came from. My life is about me, for me, and because of me. And I'm the one that needs to be responsible for it. I'm the one that's living it. And whatever's happening outside of me is an opportunity for me to choose what I want to go on the inside of me. So with that said, I just had to go off on my little tangent, because that is something that has been really, really significant in my life. One of the things I'm kind of curious now is, under these kind of circumstances, would you be more likely to avoid the conflict if this was the case in your home or your work environment, where inside you're just feeling, you're observing, you're feeling, you want to know what, just to understand what that is doing to here. But are you, you avoid those conflicts, or, and what's the cost either way to address them or to avoid them?
Well, let's think about it, because I want to get out of my comfort zone. Is avoiding the conflict getting out of my comfort zone? Probably not. It's probably staying in my comfort zone. Is admitting my conflict and trying to do something about it, is that getting out of my comfort zone? Yeah, most likely, unless I know that I really want it. But that's really what I want to do. Because if I try to fix the problem, or I try to do something about my anger or sadness or issue or whatever it is, now something's going to happen. And I don't know what's going to happen. But I don't want it to get to a situation where it gets worse and worse, and I keep making excuses over and over again as to, I don't have that issue, I don't feel this way, where I'm literally lying to myself all the time.
Well, that's,
and I think things are going to be different every time.
Denial of reality is never going to help anyone, that's for sure. You know, if we think about this, we can either address it or we can either avoid it. Those are our two options. It's like, there are some situations where I've addressed it. Why are you doing this? Or this is this, or this is that, with that person. I think there's times to address it with the individual or the individuals. And then I think there's times to address it within ourselves.
That depends on a lot of things. It depends on the situation, if the person wants to accept it or not, if they're willing and ready to change it, to do something about it. So to me, that could be like step two or three. And then the first thing that they want to do is really identify it. Is there really something wrong? Because if they tell themselves it's not, then it's not going to be. Everybody could tell them that they need help, or there's an issue they need to address or whatever. But if they don't think there's nothing there, then there's nothing anybody's going to be able to do about it. And that's not a good thing when we try to force ourselves on somebody, where we want somebody to be a certain way. And that's will never, ever work. It never did. It never will.
I think that there are times, especially in workplaces, let's take the workplace, for example, maybe somebody feels jealous of somebody, or somebody keeps putting somebody down because they feel that they're better than them, or somebody's new at the job or doesn't have certain experiences or whatever. They're just really hammering this person for whatever reason, because that's happened to me before. And sometimes when we really try to go forward and look at this person and address it and say, this is what I think and this is how I feel, and this puts us in a really vulnerable situation. And many, many times in those types of situations is due to that other person being jealous, that other person feeling their own insecurities. And this is how they're within themselves, trying to build themselves up. And it's not just with us. It's a repetitive pattern within their whole relationships. They're constantly putting people down because they don't feel good about themselves. But if we go to a person like that and try to resolve it, they're going to end up hammering us more. They've ended up hammering me more. So in these types of situations, I've always just looked at it and thought, oh, Leslie, what can you learn from this? What can you learn from this? So you're going to have to, I've had to find empathy where I didn't want to. I've had to find compassion where I didn't want to. I've had to really look at the situation, not from inside of me, to say, why does this person do the things they do? If I were that person and I were being that way, this is what I would be feeling. Or it feels like, or you can just even ask your internal self. Those are the times when you have to ask your internal self. I think a lot of kids, especially with the ones that are being violent in these school shootings and everything else, these kids have been just hammered in their life. They're tired. Nobody's listening to them. Same with people. Nobody's listening to them. Nobody's paying attention. And they don't know how to work internally with that essential inner self to learn from these things, to learn that whatever this person's projecting onto you, it has nothing to do with you and everything to do with them. So how do you teach people how to look within for those types of answers? Because this happens more often than any other situation. Like if somebody does something to piss you off, I mean, you can just go up to that person and say, hey, you know what? This was really crap. This was really wrong. And don't do it again when they're blatantly just doing it. And I think that these, you know, whether it's in the workplace, I think it also happens in the home life, but you can bring that, if it's happening in the workplace, you can bring that stuff into your home life. You get defensive in your home life, right? If you're having demands at work, if you're having stress at work and conflicts with people at work that are causing these emotions inside of you. And when you go home and you have the same anger, frustration, feelings, when your kid didn't do their homework or they didn't do their chore, you're going to blow up at your kids way more at a more intense rate than if you would understanding that those emotions aren't all because of that. It's a building up of these emotions within yourself. Do you see that within the people you work with?
So let's think about it. Let's say I work a 40-hour work week. Even if I work at home, it doesn't matter where I'm working. Because if I work at home, I'm still working. I'm not paying attention to my family. So if I work a 40-hour work week, let's just say, for example, 9 to 5, 8 to 4, I am with the people that I work with for 40 hours a week. Now, how long am I with my family? Maybe I come home from work. Let's say I have a child. That child has to be in bed an hour after I come home from work, or 2 hours after. So I have 2 hours with that child every day, and I have the weekends, 2 days a week. So am I more apt to take on behaviors from the workplace or the people in my social life?
Right.
Family, friends, neighbors.
Right.
Now, most of the time, I'm just using that they spend more time together. I'm just using that one example. There's a lot of other ways of looking at it. But if somebody influences another person, which to me is like a normal behavior, right? One person sees somebody doing something. Another person likes it. They might copy. They might think it's a good idea. They might ask them how they did it. So they're being influenced in some way, which to me is a normal behavior. With that one example, if you're with somebody more hours than, if you're at your job more hours than you're with your family, most likely your job is you're going to be influenced by your workers more than you are by your family. And 9 times out of 10, that behavior that you do at the workplace, that you perform, the way you act, the negativity, all this stuff, that's going to go home with you if you don't know how to not take it home. Because there's a way that you could turn off. Everybody has switches. We have a switch on off. That's if you know how to use it. There is a way that you could turn off what you did at work, release it, turn it off, and then go home. And now you're influencing your family in a positive way rather than taking your work home. Because all of that now, they're all going to absorb that. Your children, your spouse, whoever is living at your house, they're now going to absorb all of that stuff. The negativity, the fear, the denial, the ego, whatever you're learning at work. A lot of times, I spend more time with the people at work than I do with my family. And that could be a good thing or not. That depends on you. It depends on whether you like your job or not. When you spend more time with somebody, there's a good chance that you're really going to be influenced by that person. And also, people who are an employee, if they just start, let's say, with a company, they might be looking for a mentor. Or they might be looking for somebody to look up to. Let's say they just started in a certain industry and they want to advance in that industry. Now, if they want their boss to be a mentor, then how their boss is going to respond, they're most likely going to copy that, especially if they don't know the industry or if they just started in the workplace. So these are all very important things to really understand. Because I do this and I don't know that this is happening.
I know that some employers will assign certain people to new employees that for them to guide and for them to learn from. I think it's interesting because most often you have to let that person kind of pick. You put them in, you give them some time to really get comfortable and ask them, we're going to pair you with somebody to mentor you, but we're going to give you a month or so to get comfortable with the people around you. And then when you get together for whatever review, your 30-day review or whatever, and say, now we'd like you to pick a mentor. Who do you think you can learn the most from? And let them choose their mentor instead of having somebody assigned to them. I think it's important to have somebody assigned to show them how to do their job if it's somebody that they're taking their position or whatever. But I think it's important for perhaps maybe employers to be able to just let those employees get comfortable and then make that choice. Who do you feel you can learn the most from? One of the things that I want to back up a little bit, but one of the things that you were talking about is when we, and it hit me really hard, that when we really think about it, if we work 9 to 5 or 8 to 4, let's say 8 to 4, if you're working until, let's say 4 or 5, and your commute home is usually an hour, so you're home at 5. You have to start dinner, women or men, whoever. There's dinner to be made. There's homework to be done. There's baths for little kids. And sometimes that hour is maybe in 2 hours or an hour and a half because you have to pick your kids up from daycare. So if we're leaving work at 5, let's say we leave work at 4, we pick up the kids from daycare at 5. If you have to stop at the store or anything, you're in trouble. Let's say you get home at 5:45, you start dinner, you're eating at 6:30, you're sitting at the table at 6:30. Say most people by then, these kids are screaming and hungry because I've been there, and dinner's over at 7. You do the dishes until 8. You clean up. It takes about an hour to clean up after dinner most of the time, 45 minutes, whatever it takes. Say half an hour because you have somebody to help you. You got to get kids in the bathtub. There's just no time. Where's the quality time with your family? And this takes me back to where I think it's incredibly important for there to be, our society takes two parents working full time. I praise and I'm grateful. I worked from home. I was a single parent and I worked from home. So that made it, that was really good because my kids didn't ever come home to an empty house, but I still worked at home. But for women to be able, one of them, it's mostly the women. I think it's women because they're so nurturing. Sometimes, you know, it depends on who's the breadwinner of the family. But I think that women should work part-time. I think because if they're going to have children, if you're going to have children, I think it's beneficial to have a part-time position. Why do I think it's important to have that part-time position when some moms just stay home and some moms work full-time? But I think a happy medium for that would be if women could work part-time while they're raising their children. they still keep their sense of identity, their independence, their individuality. They're still being the nurturing role that the feminine role plays in a family. And the traditional family has to have that. And unfortunately, there's a lot of single parent households out here. But if it's a responsible situation where the father's paying, helping to support the family, I think that's important to have that balance so that you have time to meet your obligations to yourself with your own creativity, with your own identity, with your own career, with your own inner, your personal growth through your position or whatever it is. But then you're there to be able to nurture your children. I think it just makes the overall, I think it just makes things a lot happier. It just seems to make a lot more sense.
So I know a lot of people that they'll eat their dinner like 8, 9 o'clock at night. So what they'll do is they'll come home and they'll take care of the kids because there's not enough time. And then they'll put the kids to bed and then they'll eat their dinner. But I want to be able to do all of this in a positive way. I don't want to give my kids negativity because what's going to happen then? They're going to go and they're going to take it to school.
If you're eating dinner at 9 o'clock at night, you should not eat 3 hours before bedtime because that is not healthy to eat at 9 o'clock at night. I don't even eat after six. My last meal, because I'm starting to do this fasting where I do an 8 hour fast. I do an 8 hour window that I open up and I'm trying to figure out where it is because I like to eat first thing. But then again, I found myself snacking at night, like with something, but you would. And a lot of it has to do with the daylight too, but you should not eat like 2 hours before the sun goes down. Never eat when it's dark outside. No, I don't think any human body should eat after 6 p.m. because your body needs that at least 3 hours to process whatever it was. I think we should walk after we eat. I think that you should eat with your family because that's important, the time that you have together. That was the time I could spend in communicating with my kids and I would be able to ask them, how was your day? And what was the best part of your day? Tell me what excited you today. I can't ask them, how was your day? They'd say, oh, fine. What was the best part of your day? I mean, you have to ask them questions to bring stuff out. So dinner time was very important to me with my kids. That's when I could communicate with them the most. And then after dinner, they would get their homework together. And then while I cleaned up, they would do their homework at the table. It was kind of funny because my youngest daughter was learning how to read. And it was kind of driving me crazy because she wasn't reading right. She was like telling the story, not even reading the words. So I told my oldest daughter, I said, if you listen to her read while I clean up, you don't have to help me clean up, but you gotta sit with her and read and I'll pay you. She said, okay. Because they were chores, right? That was going to be her chore instead of helping me clean. And one day, Lissa was just reading just phenomenally well, like really quick. And I went over there and I'm like, oh my gosh, I was so surprised. And I started looking in. And Amanda's like, yes, you're really good. She's doing really good. Amanda wasn't even looking at the words that she was reading. She was just listening to the story. And Alyssa was doing the same thing. Not even. She's making up her own stuff. So she wasn't even doing it, which is, that's kind of funny. I just had to share that with you, Debbie, because sometimes you're just, as parents, we try to cut corners wherever we can. That just wasn't a place that I could cut a corner. But needless to say, Amanda went back to helping me cleaning up after dinner if she didn't have any homework. But we have to make that time to spend with our kids and we have to make that time to really pay attention and take care of our bodies because if we don't take care of our physical bodies, they break down. Eating after you walk, you know, if you eat dinner together and then take a walk together and just spend that time together. I'm all about what you said about they wait and they spend that time with their kids, but doesn't that include eating meals and bonding with them? Like, walk, eat dinner together, leave the dishes, go for a walk outside, sit down and read a book together. So many families have that TV on all the time. Shut it off. Only allow it, you know, after you come home from your walk, if there's time.
It's true.
It's got to bring some sort of balance, some sort of unity, some sort of, that's got to calm your nervous system down, especially if you're stressed at your work situation. It would be able to clear your mind, take it off, and really regroup and get a grip on really what's truly important. You know, one of the things that I used to do, that I used to tell people when they'd pick up their kids and they had a stressful day And sometimes, you know, it would be moms that would just be crying and they were just so stressed out. And then they'd have to pick up these kids. And I told them, put a plant outside your door. And I had a plant outside my front door. And I said, take it and rub a leaf. When you leave my house in the morning, that you're leaving all that stuff behind. You're leaving your family life. You're leaving your trust. You care. You know, this is now you're stepping into something new. So that on your drive home or on your drive to the office, you're able to shift. You take that time to shift gears so you can be present at work. Because sometimes you fight with your kids in the morning. They don't get dressed. They won't. They cry when they didn't eat their breakfast, whatever it is. You leave that back, but just rub that. And I would just say, rub that leaf on that plant. And then they would come to pick up their kids. No matter what their day was, good, bad, or indifferent, they would rub a leaf on the plant. And it was funny because there were certain leaves that you could see on the plant, but it was just a little ficus tree outside my door. But you'd see that people would rub those leaves and just be and find presence. Just say, rub that leaf and just say to yourself, I'm leaving this behind, whatever the day had, and now I'm shifting gears. I'm really excited to spend time with my family. And when you pick up your kids and you're in a good mood or in a better mood or balanced or present, I think it has a lot to do with how the rest of your day is going to be. How's the rest of it going to be? If you pick up your kids and you're in a really shitty mood and you pick up your kids and they're happy, it's going to be shit show that night, right? It's going to be terrible. It's going to be terrible. But if you pick up your kids, even if you had a terrible day and you had some sort of, what is a routine or some sort of action to shift so that you're not bringing work home or you're not bringing home to work, whatever, you're able to separate the two. Find some sort of ritual or means of keeping the two separate.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to do it. And this is all the type of stuff that I teach. And like I said, I practice it myself. But I think one of the ways is to have a way of cleaning out or clearing out before I go home. When I leave work, before I go and go home. So on my way, while I'm driving, and it could be a little meditation, breathing, a breathing exercise, telling myself positive things like a mantra. There's a lot of things that can be done. And how long these things take? 5 minutes. And that will clear yourself out. But the problem with that is if you don't do it every day, then it builds up and builds up and builds up. It's like a pressure cooker. A pressure cooker needs to turn off. It's got to shut off at a certain time. If it doesn't, it just builds inside and it'll literally explode.
Oh, that's what happened to me. Yeah.
And that's exactly what happens.
Finally, I hit that reset button and it hit it really, really hard and more than you can ever realize. I'm curious, how different would the results be for people if they could just align across some of the things that we have said? And how do you think that people's lives would change if they could just align with some of these healthier ways of progressing through things and making these significant changes in their life? How do you think that it can help them?
So everybody has their process, whatever it is that I'm going to teach them. And that's how they're going to do it. That's going to be the result of it. If I teach them to get rid of negativity or their ego or their fear or their dominance, whatever that process is, that's the whole coaching thing. And the result is going to be that alignment. But here's the thing. This type of stuff needs to be done over and over again, once a day, a few times a day, because I'm constantly going to be hit with that negativity because everybody is not positive. If everybody was positive, then we wouldn't have all these problems, all these issues. And you could take it from what's going on in the world to what your next step is or what your last step was. Or you could just focus on yourself and just say, this is me. This is what I'm doing. This is a problem. And this is all I care about. That's all I'm looking at. That's up to the individual. Because what I look at is neither here nor there. But I don't think that way. I think that's the problem, is what is around me. But that's not what I teach. But that type of thing is, the person needs to be receptive or even just curious, just so they say, well, this is interesting. I'm listening to this podcast. Debbie is talking about this. I don't really understand what it is, but I'm a little curious. Maybe I'll book a call or something like that. And that would be fine, because one thing leads to another.
Fully, Debbie, and they wanted to learn more from you. Could you just share with them really quickly before we wrap this up? How could people get a hold of you to help them make these transitions or talk to you about some of the things in their life that they notice, that they see, and they really want to improve?
So I have a website, lifeinbloomny.net, and I have social media, LinkedIn, Facebook. I have podcasts, Behavioral Profit and Six Figure Switch. And you can find those also on Apple Podcasts, YouTube. There's like 15, there's a lot of places that I post those podcasts on. So there's a lot of ways. But my website, lifeinbloomny.net, is probably the best place, because that has,
I think, the they will put that in the description
there.
Below, so that people can get in contact with you. That would be really nice. One of the things that I'm doing personally is starting July 1st, which is going to be after this, obviously after the setting, July 1st, My Life Made Easier online membership starting too. I'm opening that up to people as well. So maybe we could do some work together when bringing those two things together, do some collaboration with that, and really do the best we can to help people out in society. I think it would be a good thing. Debbie, I really, really appreciate your time. I appreciate all of your advice. I think it's so beautiful what you're doing, and it's really heartfelt. Really, truly, work environments have gotten to kind of ended up being like a dumping ground or a creation, a ground for breeding, creating, or a dumping ground for things that we just really don't know how to figure out from the inside of us. I think that the world is really shifting in such a positive direction. I think more people are really trying to look within and really trying to, that they're getting more in touch with themselves. I think it's going to be such an asset, so that they'll be able to handle what goes on. I think 90% of what happens, all the disruption, all the corruption within, and then all the disturbances that happen in relationship, I'd have to say 85% of it's because we are misinterpreting on the inside of us. And I think that if we could just figure out ways on the inside to better process these situations, I think it's truly going to benefit not only ourselves, but the entire world around us. Anyway, thank you so much, Debbie. Do you have any final words you'd like to say before we close?
If you're a listener, think about what I said. Try to watch as much of this podcast as you can, or listen. Think about what I said and see if it relates to you. Really think and say to yourself, does this one little part, it doesn't have to be the whole thing, is there a sentence that we talked about that you could relate to? Maybe something that you could say, yeah, I do this at my job and that's not a good thing. Then that thing is worth exploring. But that's only if the person is willing to say, that business owner or executive is willing to say, I want to explore this little thing that I see. I'm curious. I just want to try to find out a little more if I can. It's baby steps.
The biggest changes that happen in your life start with micro steps. So just change those little teeny things. We'd be surprised at the significance, the small little things that we think are insignificant. They ripple out into our life and really cause such a huge difference. Thank you again, Debbie, for being on this edition of Life Made Easier podcast, and we will talk again soon.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.